Unusual moons of Saturn. Stay with us.
Stardate is made possible through funding by the undergraduate students at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. It can be heard every night at midnight and every afternoon at 5:58 p.m. on WUSB, Stony Brook.
Stardate July 25th. Most of the planets in our solar system have moons, but none like the planet Saturn. For one thing, in terms of sheer numbers, Saturn has the other planets beaten hands down. The reason? The rings of Saturn actually consist of billions of tiny individual moonlets. Besides the rings, Saturn also has moons that share orbits with other moons. That'd be as if our own moon had a companion that orbited the same distance away from Earth. In the case of Saturn, the first co-orbiting moons to be discovered were Dione and Dione B. One moon always stays ahead of the other in their mutual orbit. These two were surprising enough, but then another pair was discovered, where one moon appears to catch up slowly with its companion. Eventually, the two switch places, and the former leader moon becomes the one following behind. Even more recently, it's been found that Saturn doesn't limit itself to just two moons per orbit. The moon Tethys seems to have not one, but two more moons sharing its same orbit. Both companion moons are thought to be tiny, perhaps only 20 miles across. One travels slightly ahead of Tethys in orbit, and the other follows behind. Used to be we thought of Saturn when we heard the words, the ringed planet. But now, especially since other planets in our solar system are known to have rings, Saturn may become equally famous for its very unusual moons. Stardate is produced for the McDonald Observatory at the University of Texas at Austin. Thank you for being with me. I'm Joel Block.
This is a special report from the newsroom of Radio Free Long Island. Less than an hour ago, Israeli warplanes, in a surprise move, attacked the campus of the State University at Stony Brook. We understand there was significant damage sustained by the university, including the loss of its hot water generator. The athletic fields were also heavily mined, and several academic buildings were destroyed, along with one dormitory. There is no word yet on casualties. There is also little, if any, understanding as to just why this raid took place. An official of the Israeli parliament, whom we contacted late this evening, said that Menachem Begin has had his eye on Stony Brook for a while. According to him, there are a number of Arab students who reside here, as well as a number of people who criticize Israel's regime on a regular basis. This, in Begin's words, is sufficient evidence to classify Stony Brook as a major potential enemy. He calls today's raid on the campus a defensive move which was totally justifiable. However, there are some who disagree.
No, I don't go along with it at all. I mean, I could see bombing an Iraqi reactor or maybe the Palestinians or something, but this is a campus on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean. It's in the United States. And I don't think you can get away with that. It's stupid. Why are you bombing up? Are they going to bomb individual houses next? Come on, this thing is getting kind of ridiculous, don't you think?
Stony Brook's president, John Marburger, was away on vacation when the attack occurred and so could not be reached for comment. A spokesman for the president said,
I don't want to talk about it.
Campus activist Mitchell Cohen commented from the headquarters of his leftist organization, the Red Balloon, saying that he was torn between calling Israel an aggressive, imperialistic, fascist nation of upstarts or calling the United States an anti-Semitic, overgrown nation of bourgeois opportunists. He hopes to make up his mind by tomorrow so that the left can move ahead with renewed strength. It's not clear whether or not this latest attack by Israel will have an effect on those fighter planes that are still waiting to be shipped to Israel. An unidentified spokesman for the State Department was heard to say late tonight that bombing an American university might not have been a very smart thing for Menachem Begin to do. In Tirana, there has been no comment whatsoever from the Albanian government at last report. Meanwhile, a strike deadline is fast approaching for Radio Free Long Island. Technicians and operators for the network claim that they will go on strike at 12:30 this morning if their conditions are not met. It does not appear that those demands will be met by the deadline, so Radio Free Long Island is faced with a strike at 12:30. However, the show will go on, according to spokespeople Mike Juhas and Eric Corley, and that is what they intend to do. We'll have more on this as it develops. This is Radio Free Long Island. And welcome to Radio Free Weekend. Mike, are you there?
I surely am.
There he is. He's in another room this week, but I can hear you.
Sounds like you have something caught in your throat.
Not anymore. 6 minutes after 12 o'clock, and Mike, what do you think about this? It's hitting pretty close to home this time. We had a postal strike almost.
Just about. And
subway strikes, newspaper strikes, baseball strikes, and now a Radio Free Long Island strike. It's kind of hard to believe.
Well, we're not really in a position to speak, to say what it exactly is going to entail.
I don't, you know, they might be able to, at the last minute, negotiate something, but
does... Let's hope so, but remember, we're the ones involved, so...
That's for sure.
Well,
it's kind of scary, actually, because, I mean, these are people we know, you know.
Yeah,
our friends and, not the technicians who are going out on strike, supposedly.
Right.
It's kind of scary, it really is.
And a lot of people didn't even think we had a union here.
That's for sure. We do.
Yes, we sure do.
So what kind of a week has it been for you? We might as well talk about it now before they knock us off the air or whatever they're going to do at 12:30.
Well, it's been pretty good for me. How about you?
I've been around, saw some interesting things. You know, I was driving somebody around this week.
In the limo?
Yeah. And I just happened to, they happened to talk about school and stuff, and I told them that, you know, I worked on the radio station here.
Oh?
And not only did they know about the radio station, but they knew our own Mike Girardo since he was 2 years old.
2 years old.
Can you imagine Mike Girardo at 2 years old? Well, if he's out there, somebody with the last name of Smith says hi. I forget her first name.
Sounds pretty beat to me.
Yeah, yeah, but it was definitely an indication of a very small world.
You know what I was doing this evening before I came over here?
And what's that?
Well, I was taking a little walk along my beach, my local beach, and I was finding all sorts of shells and stuff. You know, some of this stuff can be pretty valuable.
Oh, yeah.
And some of this stuff can be pretty valuable, you know. And I found one thing which I think is worth about $5.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Very interesting. I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
I
went away to get something.
I said I found something I thought was worth about five bucks.
What was it?
Well, it said Federal Reserve Note on it, and it had a whole bunch of fives on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was washed up.
Well, what was it?
It was a $5 bill, you coconut.
Oh, I didn't know what... You found some unusual form of currency or something.
Yes. Yes, well, no, that's, you know, it can be for fun and profit, looking on the beach for shells and stuff.
Well, that's quite a story.
It is a story, nonetheless.
Yeah, I saw some, a bumper sticker that got me.
Oh?
Yeah, this is a good one. It said, quite simply, the moral majority is neither. What do you think of that, huh?
It's my opinion, but I agree with it.
It's very clever, very clever.
Yes.
And that was pretty funny.
Yeah. Where can I get one of those?
I don't know. I don't even know what the car was, you know, that had it.
Where it got it, yeah.
Where that car got it, mm-hmm. Even where its license plate was. Speaking of which, license plates. Well,
I bet you have a whole big list of license plate numbers.
I certainly do.
Spotted with a USB bumper sticker on their car.
We have a brand new list for this week.
Oh, yeah.
And if your license plate is named in the next minute or so, you're going to win a copy of Tracy Nelson's album, Come See About Me.
Come See About Me.
And all you have to do is send us a copy of your registration. Just go down to a store, make a copy of it, send it over to us here at WUSB.
State University of New York at Stony Brook.
Something like that.
You're supposed to say of New York, or else they
of New York.
Because it could be State University of New Jersey at Stony Brook.
True, you're right. Stony Brook, New York, 11794. Very good. And send it to us, we'll send you the album. It's as simple as that. Now, we didn't tell them what they have to have in their car to win.
Oh, well, a USB bumper sticker.
A USB bumper sticker. They're popping up all over.
And,
Spotted a few cars myself this week.
You did?
Uh-huh. In fact, one in the parking lot of the place I work.
Uh-huh.
Which was very funny.
Well, I'll bet it was.
So be sure to call up the USB hotline, 246-3646. Mike, you can't play that over the air, Mike.
Oh, sorry.
So please don't do it. So that's the hotline. The winning license plates for this week, 155-TJO, 9158-AAJ, 218-TJJ, 752-AJZ, and 1-BRETT. That's B-R-E-T-T. If you missed something or you want to hear it again, you want to find out where you can get a bumper sticker, call 246-3646. Area code 516, of course. Well, I'm Eric Corley, and you're...
Mike Juhas.
That's right.
Of course it's right.
Radio Free Weekend, the beginning of another one. Maybe the end of one, too. I don't know.
Or the beginning of the end of one.
That could very well be.
Or the end of a beginning of one.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen at 12:30. Anything's possible, I guess. I hope they talk it over like rational people. Well, it's not that funny. They have done it on occasion. I don't like strikes, Mike. It's kind of...
Well, neither do I. Neither do I.
Oh, you know, there was a story about Albania in Thursday's Times.
Could you read it to us?
I forgot to bring it in.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but...
I thought you said one came over the wire as well.
No, it didn't come over the wire, but it was something about... It was actually happening in Yugoslavia.
Something happening in Albania, huh?
No, Albanian people in Yugoslavia were
Albanian
rioting.
Albanian nationals?
Or something nasty like that.
You know, I get really mad when I hear about somebody going to a different country and rioting.
Yeah, yeah, that is kind of upsetting.
It is. It's extremely upsetting.
Especially when they do it with a few people.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, if they do it by themselves, that's okay.
Or a whole bunch, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to have a riot in another country, you should do it, you know, in private.
Well,
that's what I say, anyway.
Yeah, that's... Well, yeah, that's true, I suppose.
God, I can't stand it!
Who is that?
I'm not too
sure.
They're
one of the negotiators, I think.
Yeah, it could be.
Where are they negotiating? In the room down the hall?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of broken glass down there, isn't there?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
The preceding program was a pre-recorded presentation.
No, it wasn't.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That was pre-recorded. Well, if anybody would like to offer their suggestions as to this, what to do about this strike, how maybe we can solve it. I guess the issue, I haven't really, you know, thought about it, but the issue must be money, right?
WUSB, Stony Brook.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I don't know if it's money or not, but I don't think we're really...
The technicians want less. They're being overpaid, is that it?
Something like that. Well, listen, we're not supposed to talk about that on the air.
Oh.
Listen, you know, I have to do some other things here.
Oh, well, excuse me if I'm taking up your time.
You sure are.
Yeah.
You sure am.
It's 13 minutes after 12 o'clock. We have 70 degrees Fahrenheit outside, and that's 21 on the Celsius scale.
Is the phone ringing or something?
Not yet. Oh, the phones might go out, too. Technicians take care of those things. Mike, we might be totally helpless at 12:30. It's only 17 minutes away.
Oh, boy.
What about the tripods?
Oh, gee. Boy, now you're asking for real trouble.
If Radio Free Weekend or Radio Free Long Island or the whole thing goes off at 12:30, there may not be any tripods this week.
Who knows?
The only thing that can help is listener demands.
246-7901,
area code 516. Demand that this strike not take place.
Okay.
Or else
you'll hear a strike.
And you'll be sorry.
Another day, it's me, dear diary. It's me just like a dream. Woke up too late, wasn't where I should have been. For goodness sake, what's happening to me? Write lightly, yours truly, dear diary.
dormi, vie débris, mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu ma place. En quatre couleurs. Allez hop, un matin, une louloute est venue chez moi, poupée de cellophane, cheveux chinois, un sparadrap, une gueule de bois. A bu ma bière dans un grand verre en caoutchouc. Comme un alien dans son igloo. Ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, ça plane pour moi, moi, ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, la la la, quelle pas la quelle vibration de s'envoyer du paillasson, limé, ruiné, vidé, comblé. You are the king of the divan, qu'elle me dit en passant. I am the king of the divan. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Allez hop, t'occupe, t'inquiète, touche pas ma planète. Today, que le ciel me tombera sur la tête et que la colle me manquera. Ça plane pour moi.
This is John DeBella from that radio station in Hempstock. You know that one? It's like this, but we got to pay for things. And let me tell you the plight of college radio stations, especially one like WUSB 90.1 on your FM dial. You see, they don't make any money. Very little. None. Zip. Ungatz, as we say on the DeBella Travesty. And keep in mind that if you support a station like this, listening is not all they need. They need other things like record cleaner and dishwashers. And money would help once in a while, too, but only when they ask for it. WSB, USB, that's USB.
Thank you, John DeBella there. Well, what can I say? The deadline has passed. We're still on the air. I guess it's pretty much...
Not for long!
Well, Mike, you have kind of a negative attitude there, but I think these union people and management, they sort of are talking between their teeth or whatever the phrase is. They don't really mean what they're saying. In any event, though, we're going to continue to monitor what's going on down the hall. I hope for the best. Keep your calls coming in. We really appreciate them, and hopefully the strike will never take place. It's 12:32. They can't just take us off the air, can they?
You want to bet?
Well, they better not.
The technicians are down the hall. Listen to the crowd noise.
Pray for us.
Bye. we'll go back, girl, back to our home. Someday I promise I'll take you across the far away we've roamed. And the bells, they will ring off the mountain through the valley. On the banks of the river, there you will be my bride.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Sound Front Stadium for tonight's game between the home team, the Beagles, and the visitors, the Dachshunds. Our lineups for tonight. For the Dachshunds, playing second base, Brian Hasbrook, number 63. Right field, Todd Hauslanger, number 98.5. Shortstop, Sue Pfeffer, number 56. Left field, Barry Reagan, number 1. Playing center field, Karen John, number 14. First base, Barbara Bloom, number 25. Third base, Jerry Zuckerman, number 47. Catcher, Barbara Gore Suter, number 32. And our pitcher for the Dachshunds tonight will be Lou Stevens, number 3. Beagles manager Bill Senakowicz informs us that third base, Nancy Bellucci, number 66, will be first. Right fielder, Steve Blyberg, number 12, will be next. Shortstop, Mark Stern, number 19. Center fielder, Lister Hewenlow, number 444. First base, Bill McKenzie, number 27. Second base, Bob Duffy, number 96. Left fielder, Bill Lazaroff, number 103.9. Catcher, Gary Pecorino, number 37. And the pitcher for the Beagles will be Buddy Angelello, number 9. Once again, the manager for the visiting team, the Dachshunds, Erica Goldstein, and the Beagles, Bill Senakowicz. And, ladies and gentlemen, as an added treat tonight, the Star Spangled Banner will be performed by Jimi Hendrix. Thank you.
down to low pay. That's right. Enroll at the Duluth School of Broadcasting and set yourself up for a career in the radio industry where you never know what's going to happen next. You too can be a real live DJ and you don't even have to speak English. Yes, become a radio announcer and join literally millions of Duluth grads placed in the highly unstable radio biz. Classes that start April 1st can get you on the air by June 1st and on the unemployment lines by July 1st. Act now. Get your application by calling 555-4216 and don't delay. Classes start April 1st, and that's no joke. Get off your duff and call Duluth at 555-4217.
Good evening, sports fans. I'm Les Huggins, along with Brian Flanagan, and what an evening of baseball we have ahead of us tonight.
We sure do, Les. And today's the opening game of the Stony Brook Dachshunds versus the Stony Brook Beagles at the Beagle Park.
The Campus Bus Series is what they call this one.
That's true. So the Dachshunds are up first.
Yes, and we will be getting underway any second. What a beautiful evening this is. You can see all the stars and all sorts of things. It's going to be a great game tonight.
The Beagles are all lined up on the field now. Buddy Angelello, the pitcher, throwing a few to Gary Pecorino.
The first batter will be Brian Hasbrook. That is for the Stony Brook Dachshunds. Brian batted 202 last season, number 63, second baseman. And it looks like we're all set to get underway here.
And he steps up to the plate.
And Buddy is looking straight ahead. Wind up. He does this very slowly the first time. He wants us to appreciate every movement. And here comes the pitch. And it's a strike.
Ooh.
Brian just looked at that one go by. He couldn't believe
how
fast
that was. You couldn't ask for a better pitch.
It's amazing. Buddy winds up so slowly, but yet the ball moves incredibly fast.
That's true. Buddy sure does have an incredible amount of power behind him.
All right. The second pitch is almost on the way. The windup and the throw, and there it goes again. Right by him. And
right
Brian
down the middle.
I could not believe that.
Right down the middle. Two in a row.
I'd say he almost didn't even see that ball that went so fast. And Buddy has sort of a smug little smile on his face. The crowd
sure
doesn't
is.
Really like that too much. They think it gets the better of him. So do the umpires. Phil Sankovic knows how to keep him in hand. Here's the pitch. And that's a little bit low, and the count is 1-2 on Brian Hasbrook.
You can hear the crowd didn't really like that pitch from Buddy.
So Buddy is still ahead of the batter. And he's getting ready now. And here's the throw, a swing and a miss. And Brian Hasbrook is out.
Well, that's one down at least. Todd Hauslanger will be up next.
You see the way Buddy threw that ball right over his head and caught it with his other hand. Unbelievably agile that man is.
A regular juggler on the pitcher's mound.
I don't know, Brian Flanagan, if you remember last year when Buddy struck out three people in a row. He sprung a handstand right in the middle of the field. That
That's
was
true.
Unbelievable.
That's true.
And the fans loved it.
A couple of years ago, I was out in Cincinnati, and I had seen him turn a cartwheel after winning a league pennant.
He's just that kind of guy. What can you say?
I tell you, Les. Todd Hauslanger is stepping up to the base now.
Todd didn't have a very good year last season. He batted 094.
No, not very good at all.
And he made several errors as a right fielder, but he seems to be picking up a little bit this year. And then Buddy looks at him, looks behind him, and looks at the crowd. And now he's looking at his watch.
What time is it anyway?
Here's the pitch. And it's low, ball one.
Buddy's almost getting right into the dirt.
Yeah, he has been known after a full game to sort of sink a hole in the middle of the pitcher's mound and actually change the level of the competition because his pitches do become much lower then.
I suppose it's pretty good for some of the shorter players.
That's for sure. Oh, Buddy is looking at Todd Hauslanger again. And Buddy looks at Todd. Todd looks at Buddy. And here's the pitch. Swung on, hit to Steve Weiberg out in right field.
Ooh.
And oh, he bobbled the ball.
Oh.
That's a certain error on Steve Weiberg.
Steve
Todd Hauslanger stops at first.
He gets control of the ball. throwing it back to Bob Duffy, second baseman.
Oh, that was a bad play, I have to say, by Steve Weiberg. He usually doesn't make errors like that, but apparently the sun...
He must have been speaking with Lister or something.
It could have been the sun. It's nighttime here. It must have been one of the bright stadium lights. And yes, Steve is gesturing that it was a light. He wants that light turned off.
And it's funny, these lights... Some people complain that they look too much like yellow traffic lights.
That is a common complaint. Bill Franklish also wants that light turned off. He's complaining to the home plate umpire.
Senequich talking with Alan, the Shellman, lead umpire.
And he's looking up at the light now. He's shielding his eyes, so I guess he thinks it's pretty...
It looks kind of bright. I can see the twinkle in his eyes, even though his eyes are shielded.
Oh, and there it goes. The light's turned off just like that.
Gosh.
The combination of Blyberg and Stankovich have a lot of power.
Well, in any event.
Sue Pfeiffer's up next. And let's see what they're going to do. And Buddy takes a signal from Bill Stankovich. And they're going to put her on.
Why do they do this?
Intentional walk of Sue Pfeiffer.
Sue Pfeiffer is such a powerful hitter, they just don't want to take any chances.
That's for sure, Brian.
Having her bet Todd Hauslanger in, which I'm sure she could do.
And there's ball four, and Sue Pfeiffer is on base. Todd Hauslanger moving over to second.
Barry Reagan's up next. Barry Reagan had an interesting season last year. He had about a 209 average.
And Buddy's taking just a little bit of extra time.
Throwing the ball up in the air a few times.
He knows that there's nothing worse than panicking in the first inning. That's when
he's trying to relax.
Explosions take place.
What's that? He's taking a yo-yo out of his pocket.
I think the home plate umpire is making some sort of a gesture to him to put that away.
Yeah, a gesture.
The crowd doesn't like it either. Okay, Buddy seems to be winding up now. And here's the pitch. And a ground to the third base. Nancy Gallucci feels it expertly. And throw to first is in time. Sue Pfeiffer moves to second base, and Todd Hauslanger's now on third.
I tell you that, Nancy Gallucci, she is some damn good fielder.
I'll say. Now, what do you say, Brian? Two runners in scoring position, two men out. What's Bill Sankovich going to call for here?
Well, I don't know. You know, Karen John is a pretty powerful hitter herself.
Karen John got 25 home runs last year.
That's certainly some impressive record. Considering
and she's off to a good start this year, too.
That's true. That's very true.
Well,
let's see what happens.
Buddy is definitely communicating with Bill about something. But it doesn't look like they're going to put her on. I don't know if that would be a good idea at this point, to load up the bases, even with two out.
After Karen John, of course, Barbara Bloom will be up. A powerful first base person.
And here's the pitch. It's low, ball one. And Karen has a very aggressive swing. She's a left-handed batter. She has the power to put that thing out of this stadium. It's been done before.
She sure has.
The windup. And the pitch swung on. It's a foul ball. Up into the upper deck.
I tell you.
Behind home plate. That's amazing.
I tell you, that's way up in the peanut gallery there. I bet you some knows. It looks like about a sixth grader caught that ball, take it home, show his kids.
Oh, that's good.
About 20 years.
Karen gives a lot of balls to the crowd.
She's very generous in that regard.
Buddy winds up, and the pitch. That's almost away again from Gary Pecorino. He hangs on to that remarkably well, but that's, I believe, three pitches that Buddy has thrown over there. Up, it's a different story altogether.
Looks like the main left here, left fielder Bill Lazaroff, is stepping out a little bit further. He's expecting a big hit from Karen John.
All right, let's see what happens here.
Lister's moving a bit back in center field as well.
Yes. Seems to be a sort of a haze over Lister. I'll have to check that out later on. Sort of a smoky haze. Yeah. There might be something wrong with that part of the sky or something.
It could be.
Count is two balls, one strike. Here's the pitch. And that's a strike. Karen just watched that one go by.
I'm sure if she put her might into that one, she could have knocked that one right over Lister's head.
I believe that was a curveball. It looked like it was almost going to hit her at first, and then it suddenly zipped out in that Buddy Angeletto style and went straight over the base. There's the windup and the pitch. That's low, almost in the dirt.
Another ball.
3-2, low count.
3-2.
Buddy winds up.
Strong breeze out of the northwest here.
And the pitch. And that's low again. Ball four. The bases are loaded.
Bags are loaded. What's that now? Bill Senequich is walking up towards the mound. Joined by Gary Pecorino, the catcher, and Arnie Pritchett, the pitching coach.
And they're going to have a little talk out there. Like I said before, Brian, I don't think Bill's going to do anything drastic at this point. It's only the first inning.
Well, Bill's pointing to the dugout there.
Well, there hasn't been any score.
I'm not sure if he's going to relieve Buddy this quickly. Who will be coming up next? Could be Mike Girardo, could be Rochelle Goldman. Time will tell, I'm sure.
And he's not going to do anything now. He's going back to just want a little
back.
Talk with Buddy.
A little pat on the back there.
And the game's going to resume.
Barbara Bloom's up next. Now, she had a... I tell you, she's a good first base person. And not a bad hitter either. .238 average last year.
They acquired her from the International League.
That's true.
And it was a
from
remarkable investment.
From New Mexico, that's true. She's used to playing in those desert climes. She moves up here to moderately better temperatures and does so much better.
And once she gets on base, it's like greased lightning. Buddy winds up. Here's the pitch. And a foul ball popped up. And Gary gets right underneath it and puts it away. The inning is over. And after half an inning, the Dachshunds nothing. The Beagles coming to bat.
I love you.
But I don't deserve it.
What do you mean?
You remember last week at the dinner party? I told everybody that the only time you stop talking is when your mother starts?
I remember.
And you love me anyway, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Love. Treating people the way they need to be treated. Not because they deserve it, but because they need it. Sound foolish? Then turn the question around. Don't you want to be treated the way you need to be treated? Even when you don't actually deserve it sometimes? This kind of love has its own rewards. Fulfillment, satisfaction, self-worth. To love people because they need it. I believe it's something God puts in us. Which is why I've shared this message with you on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Well, some of the Beagles are up at bat now. Facing pitcher Lou Stevens.
Just an idea of the field, Barry Reagan out in left, Karen John center field, Todd Hauslanger in right. Sue Pfeiffer shortstop. First is Barbara Bloom, second Brian Hasbrook, third Jerry Zuckerman, and Barbara Gore Studio, the catcher.
And I'll be facing Nancy Belushi. She had an average of .273 last year. Another left-handed batter with good control. And Lou Stevens does his famous windup. I always get a kick out of that. And here's the pitch. And it's a strike. Nancy, just watch that one go by. There's a lot of that tonight.
Must be something in the air.
It's kind of hard to see that ball sometimes when that light's not turned on over home base. But Steve Weiberg got his way. And here's the windup by Lou Stevens. And here's the pitch. And that's low. Ball one. So the count is evened up now. It's 1-1. And Nancy Belushi taking a few of those swings there.
We were talking about the pitcher Buddy Angeletto before, but we really didn't have a chance to talk about Lou Stevens, pitcher for the Dachshunds.
Yes, Lou has been with the Dachshunds for 3.5 years now.
We're not going to have much of a chance to talk about him now because he's winding up.
And here's the pitch. Swung on, and that's a foul ball. Out of play.
He up into the stands there again. Just like it landed in a contingent from Connecticut. Connecticut loves the Beagles.
That's good to know.
Somebody up there cut it.
Lee Stevens quickly into another windup. And here's the pitch, and that's low, ball three. 3-2 now. Oh, my mistake. That is 2-2. Brian Flanagan. Second ball of the count is evened up at 2-2.
Oh, yeah. You're absolutely correct there, Les Huggins.
Here's the windup. And there's ball three. Maybe that was sort of a premonition, huh?
I'll say something like that.
Well, do you believe in astrology? Count. Do I believe in astrology? At times. At times, Brian. Depends what time of the season it is.
Well, you can certainly see the stars out here tonight.
That's for sure. And a lot of them are on the field.
And Nancy Bellucci, she's a really strong hitter. Not getting much of a chance though tonight.
Here's the windup. And the pitch. Swung on, and that's popped up. Popped up to the shortstop. Sue Pfeffer catches it. And there's one away. And now Steve Blyberg is coming up the bat.
He had a good season last year.
The right fielder. Batted 328. The right-handed batter.
I once asked him why he has the number 12. This isn't his favorite number.
Well, that's a good reason. It doesn't always work that way either.
Well, they gave it to him. I guess who was number 12 on the Beagles before him?
I think it was Jonathan Dillon. I'm not certain about that, though. I don't go back that far.
Maybe it was Dan Feilicher.
Could have been. Well, here's the pitch to Steve Blyberg, and that is low, ball one. Blyberg stepping back from the plate for a second.
Well, he steps back. Lou Stevens and Barbara Gore Suter, the catcher, have been a little game of catch.
Blyberg tying his Oh, he fell down, not trying to tie his shoe. That's kind of the funny movement to Steve Blyberg. Maybe that's what happened to him out in right field before. His shoelace might not have been tied, and that could have accounted for his bobbling that ball.
And the light problem as well.
The light as well. Well, I don't think he'd want to say to the people that his shoelace is untied. That's why I dropped it. Now here's the pitch by Lou Stevens. And here's the pitch by Stevens. And it's a foul ball into the left field stands. Which is exactly what they're doing out
looks
there.
Looks like one of those kids up there caught it. Got a big smile on his face.
Yep.
TV camera zooming in on him. Hi, Mom, he says.
Moment of a lifetime.
Or two lifetimes.
Possibly.
Maybe three.
I never caught a foul ball, so I guess my lifetime was skipped.
Then again, you may catch one up here. Mark Stern on deck.
And here is the third pitch to Steve Blyberg. And that's way outside. Ball two. Count is now 2-1.
Can't imagine what Lou Stevens was thinking about when he threw that ball.
He almost threw that totally away.
Maybe it'll be an intentional walk again.
Lou Stevens winds up. Here's the pitch. And that's low. Ball
Another
three.
Ball.
Ball three. And Lou Stevens looks a little bit worried there.
Yeah, not to mention Erica Goldstein.
Lou sometimes gets off to bad starts at the beginning of these games. He picks up, but sometimes he doesn't. And it makes for an interesting game sometimes.
And if he doesn't pick up, we'll have to get a few people to pick him up.
That's for sure. He looks kind of mad now as he winds up, and here's the pitch, and that's straight down the middle. Steve Blyberg just watched that one go by. He was waiting for the walk, but he didn't get it this time. Count is now full of 3-2.
A lot of full counts tonight's game.
That's the way it is in this league.
Fairly strong offensive and defensive play. They're doing their best, I'm sure.
Lou looks at the ball. Looks like he's about to spit on it. I think he's reading the inscription. It's some of those major league things. The people who make the balls for this league are on strike, so they have to use the major league balls. Interesting story. Anyway, Lou holds up the ball now and goes into his famous windup. And here is the pitch. And another foul ball right into the stands. Steve looking a little bit upset with himself.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He can keep hitting those foul balls all night.
And he has done it, too. I think he has the all-time record for hitting foul balls
in a single inning. He does.
Yeah?
He does. It was back in, Duluth. In
1978. 1978, huh? How many foul balls in the row?
16 foul balls in one single inning.
At one time at bat?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Thank you, Brian Flanagan, for that statistic.
No, I actually have to thank Craig Berger for that statistic.
He's been tossing the ball up in the air now and catching it with his foot. Lou's a kidder sometimes.
I'll say he is.
He doesn't seem to be worried at all. And that's his best attribute.
He's just a happy-go-lucky guy.
The windup. The pitch, and that's low ball four. And it didn't help him in that case, Brian.
It certainly did not.
Now there is one man on base with one out. And Mark Stern coming up to bat.
Mark had a bit of a problem with the leg a little while back. Seems to be a little bit better. Bill Senequist is starting him tonight.
No doubt if he gets on, though, there will be a pinch runner.
True. His average is about 299. Pretty impressive, I'd say.
Lou surveys Stern very, very carefully.
It's a game of wits.
And here's the windup. And here's the pitch. And straight down the middle.
I tell you.
And that went about the speed of that Cahootic Comet. Comet, excuse me.
Cahootic Comet.
Yes.
That isn't like Kunta Kinte.
No. If only Lou Stevens could have done that with Steve Blyberg, he wouldn't have had that person on base. Look at the lead Steve Blyberg is taking, and Lou Stevens cannot believe that. And a throw to first. Gets back in time. He was almost halfway between first and second.
Lou Stevens has quite a rapport with Barbara Bloom, first baseman. She just whistles and then he automatically throws the ball back.
Yeah, she has a very good system of telling him when Steve's a little bit too far off. And there, look at that lead he's taking. There he goes again. And Lou will just keep throwing that ball back until he stays where he's supposed to stay.
I have the statistic here on Steve Blyberg. He's stolen 13 bases in the last 18 games.
And no doubt Lou Stevens knows that. He's keeping an eye on Steve Blyberg, a very close eye on him. And it looks like he's going to throw to Mark Stern now. And here is the pitch. As line to first base, Barbara Bloom is right there. Steps on the bag, and we have a double play, and the side is retired. So, after one full inning,
in order,
the Dachshunds nothing, and the Beagles nothing. We'll be right back.
I enjoy us.
Hey, I enjoy us, too. Who cares if we live in a one-bedroom apartment?
We can barely afford 2 meals a day.
But that's not the point. I enjoy us.
Just for the sake of being us.
Togetherness. Experiencing other people on the basis of who they are, not what they have. To enjoy the presence of someone without any reservation. Sound impractical? Then turn the question around. Wouldn't you rather share togetherness with someone who accepts you just as you are, no matter what your income or skill? This kind of sharing provides its own rewards. Acceptance, trust, self-esteem, to enjoy togetherness for its own sake. I believe it's something God puts in us, which is why I've shared this message with you on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Back again with the second inning.
I'm Brian Flanagan.
And I'm Wes Huggins. And the Dachshunds hunts are up again.
That's right. Jerry Zuckerman's up first.
Jerry Zuckerman batted 322 last season.
And Buddy Angelello's just having a last-minute warm-up with Gary Pecorino. And Jerry Zuckerman steps up to the plate. And the windup. The strike right down the middle.
Wow, that whistled by. I tell you, Buddy Angelello has not lost his touch one bit. He's been with the league, various teams, for 17 years now. Isn't that amazing?
That's true. He's been around for quite a long time. Another windup and a pitch. Straight down the middle.
What
straight
style?
Down the middle.
What style?
Yeah, I don't know what's wrong with Jerry.
Well, Jerry's kind of shocked, actually.
She can't believe the speed of these balls.
I don't know if Jerry ever came up against Buddy Angelello before.
That's true. She's new on the team.
She's played a couple of games on the Pacific Coast League.
And the windup. High and outside.
Still very fast, though.
That's true. Got some speed on his balls.
You know, I hope Buddy doesn't pitch too many fastballs at the start. Because he'll sort of lose his touch.
It's all a matter of pacing himself. It's all a matter of pacing.
There we go.
And the windup. The pitch.
Whoa, oh, my God! Where did that ball go? Wow!
Over the face and into the street.
Wow, looks like it almost cracked somebody's windshield out there. That Jerry Zuckerman, she's rounding the bases.
There's sort of a collection of people at home plate waiting for. And here she comes.
Score.
And she's very happy. They're very happy.
Dachshunds won, and the Beagles nothing.
Well,
I think that's the first home run I've ever seen Jerry Zuckerman hit.
That's true. That's true. She had a 322, though, last year. Looks like she's well on her way to raising that up a bit this year.
I would expect her to have gotten one in her home stadium, but instead she got it in the Beagles' home stadium. Well, that is a surprise, Brian. I wouldn't expect that to happen.
Yes, here at Sound Front Stadium, ladies and gentlemen, you witnessed it.
And here's Barbara Gore Suter.
She's up, stepping up to bat.
And she batted 263 last year.
Buddy's loosening up a bit on the mound there.
That's the best season a catcher has ever had last year, 263. That's very good.
And the pitch. And the pitch. McKenzie catches it at first.
All right.
One out.
Great fielding by Bill McKenzie.
And Barbara goes back to the dugout.
Pitcher Lou Stevens will be up next.
That was, if Bill had not been standing right where he was, that would have gone out into right field, and that could have gone for as much as a double. Maybe even the triple. The way Blyberg's been bobbling things up.
Yeah, but I saw Blyberg running in for that one.
He was ready.
Lou Stevens steps up to the plate. Buddy Angelello and Lou Stevens exchanging grimaces.
Two pitchers confronting each other.
And the pitch. And oh, low ball.
That's a ball.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be a strike, but I guess it wasn't.
A little bit too low.
Lou batted 163 last season, which is actually, I guess, what you can expect for a pitcher.
That's true. Again, Buddy Angelello a little bit tight. Seems just loosening up his bones a bit.
And the crowd's getting on him a little bit.
What he probably needs is a masseuse to get on him. And the windup, the pitch. Ooh, straight out to Mark Stern. Mark Stern catches it, throws it to Bill McKenzie, and he's out.
That's two away, two quick ones.
Mark Stern. Shortstop.
Mark Stern's especially good on those double plays, but he does get a good throw to Barbara Bloom now and then, too.
Oh, Brian Hasbrook's up next.
Up again. He's 0-for-1.
Oh, that's true. That's very true.
He struck out in the first inning, I believe.
That's what happened, right? And the windup, the pitch.
That's low.
Oh, too low.
Very low.
Too low. So, yeah, Buddy has this problem. Sometimes he pitches just a little bit too low.
I think he knows it, too. And certainly Bill Sankovich knows it.
Alan the Shellman wants to look at that ball. Apparently he doesn't like it. Throws back another one out to Buddy Angelello.
He throws the old one into the crowd to a fan, isn't it? Not many umpires will do something like
That's true. Alan the Shellman, he's known for being kind to the viewing audience.
That reminds me of something Reggie Jackson did in the 1973 World Series against the Mets. He would always throw balls into the crowd whenever he caught them, just because he was so happy to be there and he wanted to share it with the fans.
Sure was. The pitch. Ooh, straight down the middle. Brian Hasbrook doesn't even have a chance to see it.
I guess Alan the Showman is happy to be here too, as I know I am. How about you, Brian Flanagan?
Me too. Let's hug him. Okay, and the windup, the pitch. Oh,
that would have been out of here.
Oh, that right up into the top level.
That was very close.
Yes,
very close, Brian.
It was.
The count is now 1-2.
He's got himself another ball now. It's funny that he should just throw that one ball in. It's one pitch. And the windup. Whoa! And Lister's underneath. Lister catches it. The side is retired.
See the smoke that grows up from there.
Lister will be up first next time.
Well, we're at the end of 1.5 innings.
Score is the Dachshunds 1 and the Beagles nothing. Beagles coming to bat.
We'll be back after this.
What's this stuff on my plate? You're not a cook. You're an arsonist. I'm sorry. I really didn't mean to.
I can forgive you.
Say, you can what?
Forgive you.
You can?
Mm-hmm.
Forgiveness. To stop punishing ourselves for our own mistakes. To give up resentment for others' mistakes without prolonged anxiety and bitterness. Sound impossible? Not if we recognize that all of us make mistakes and regret them. We injure, we insult, but all of us can choose to forgive, too. And that brings its own rewards. Freedom, release, wholeness, forgiveness. I believe it's something God puts in us, which is why I've shared this message with you on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
So you can't use me, huh? All right, thank you very much. Goodbye. Why doesn't anybody need what I can do? Hello?
Hi, honey. You're upset.
I don't belong in this world.
You belong in my world.
I don't know why sometimes.
Because I need you.
I'm sure glad you do.
Belonging. Being aware that others' lives are enriched by our own. To recognize that someone else needs us. Sound difficult? If you can smile, or listen, or care, someone needs you. Share some time, a little love. You'll become important to someone. A sense of belonging. It makes us feel useful, important, worthwhile. I believe it's something God puts in us, which is why I've shared this message with you on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Well, we're back again for the second half of the second inning. Lister Huono will be leading off for the Beagles.
You know something, Brian? I've been flipping through my little handbook here, and I noticed something of interest that
finds every single one of these players together. They all seem to have worked at one time on a particular college radio station called WUSB in Stony Brook. Interesting little side note there.
I've noticed that, too. It's interesting to note also that the Dachshunds have also worked there in news and public affairs.
Your safety or public affairs or public...
I've noticed the same thing. And the Beagles were all in the music department.
Very, very interesting.
Very interesting. Anyhow, Lister, Hugh, and Lowe is up.
For the Beagles.
That's true. Facing Lou Stevens. And the pitch. Out to Karen John, and she...
Oh! Bobbled that ball.
Oh,
and
boy.
Lister's on base. I think he would have been on base even if she hadn't bobbled that.
Yes, Lister makes it to first.
And it's and not an error. Not an error in Karen John.
Well, Bill McKenzie's coming up.
That's good that Karen John doesn't feel too badly about that, because she doesn't make mistakes like that too often.
Bill McKenzie, interestingly enough, had an average last year of 364. Lister had an average of 346.
Whoa.
Bill McKenzie, number 27. Well, anyhow, Lou Stevens winding up the pitch. Strike!
That was a mean pitch.
Yeah, one of those interesting curveballs of Lou Stevens.
I don't know if McKenzie believed that was a strike. He looks kind of baffled. He's sort of shaking his head and looking up at the sky.
He's having some polite dialogue there with Alan the Shellman, the chief home plate umpire there.
Oh, I never saw that gesture before from an umpire. I wonder what that meant.
And the windup. Ooh! Lower left outside.
A little bit of debate on that one. I think some of the fans thought that was a good pitch.
Well, then they're even. The last one they thought was a bad pitch.
That's true.
Well,
so it evens out.
It counts one and one. Bill McKenzie up at bat.
The Dachshunds do have a few fans here. That's amazing. They do seem to be hanging out.
They did travel all the way from Stony Brook, remember?
Well, this is the Stony Brook series, the Campus Bus series, as we mentioned before.
Right. And Lou Stevens with the windup. The pitch.
Almost in the exact same place. Unbelievable.
Just about.
2-1.
A complete carbon copy of that last pitch.
And Lister's not taking too much of a lead off first base. In fact, he's talking to the first base coach, and he didn't even seem to be watching Bill McKenzie as he took the pitch.
Yes, he is talking to Scott Forrington over there on the first base line.
He's saying, oh, and they're smoking something. I guess that gets his concentration up.
That's true.
Well, Lou is winding up one more time.
And the pitch.
Swing on, foul ball right into the third base side. That had some power on it.
It did. It sure did.
And spinning around.
Lou Stevens looks like he's a bit nervous. Bill McKenzie is really a power hitter.
He's got an even count right now, 2-2. Lou looks a little bit mad, if you say anything.
That's true. And here comes the pitch.
Whoa!
Pitch.
And Lister goes on to second, and he's going to stop right there.
Oh boy.
Also, Barbara Gorisuda did a good job chasing down that ball to prevent Lister from going on to third base.
Yes.
And she holds him right there at second.
Looks like there's going to be a little conference out on the mound there.
Here comes Erica Goldstein.
And pitching coach Jane Goldberg talking with Lou Stevens.
That pitch really got away from Lou Stevens. No question about it.
Well, it looks like they're about done talking. Looks like Lou's going to stay there for a while.
Look at Bill McKenzie just standing there with his hands on his hips looking at Lou Stevens. I don't know if he thought that was intentional or just bad pitching.
Just about.
Lou has been known to give the old beanball at times.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it looks like they're about ready to resume play.
There goes Erica back into the dugout.
Okay, and
Lou's
and the pitch. Wow! Another strike.
And that's strike three.
That strikes out Bill McKenzie.
And Bill seems to be, I can't hear what he's saying, but he's definitely muttering something as he walks back to the dugout.
It's not a good thing to do for Bill McKenzie.
Well, he went through a lot out there just now. He almost got his pants knocked off.
That's
that ball.
That's true, but a bit nervous and probably shaken up he is. Well, Bob Duffy's up there.
There's one out now, and Lister's on second base, scoring position.
Bob Duffy, number 96. I once asked him why he had the number 96. He says, just in case he puts his shirt on upside down, it reads the same thing.
That's Bob Duffy for you.
I tell you. And the windup, the pitch.
It's deep to left field. Terry Reagan catches it for the out.
And Lister tagging up.
Lister makes it to third, and he's safe.
Oh, that was close. That was very close. And Erica Goldstein is out there arguing vehemently.
Oh,
that was extremely close.
Now, Lister's talking with third base coach Charlie Backfish.
Did you see Barry Reagan threw that ball to Jerry Zuckerman, and Lister sort of slid in hand over heels.
Or ass over tea kettles or something like that.
And it went right underneath.
He just made it. Let's look at the videotape. Now, let's not and say we did. Don't have time. Bill Lazaroff coming up to the plate.
Wow. We have a runner on third base now with two men out. What can Bill Lazaroff do?
Well, we'll find out in just a few moments.
And the windup.
The pitch to Bill Lazaroff.
Oh, that's a foul ball.
Foul ball.
All the way through, that was foul. Oh, just came down from the upper level. Fan had his hand on it, and he let it go, and it went right over.
It's like a little scramble in the stands there.
I just saw a hot dog.
Hot dog vendor caught it.
I just saw some hot dogs go flying. That was funny.
I tell you. All right.
Stuffed all of his hot dogs, but he got that baseball, and that's the important thing.
That's true.
No, I'll test for that.
So they're bringing home the bacon. He's bringing home the balls.
And the windup.
Lazaroff. The pitch.
Base hit.
Oh, right through the legs of Stu Pfeffer.
And Lister scores.
Lister scores. So it's 1-1.
We have a tie ball game here.
Barry Reagan throws it to first.
Lazaroff. That's back in time. Runner now on first base.
Bill Lazaroff on first. Gary Pecorino is facing Lee Stevens.
Two men out. Bottom of the second inning.
And the windup. The pitch to Gary Pecorino. Swing! Oh!
That's foul.
Just barely foul. But into the stand.
Gary has some power in that swing of his. I think he's looking to hit it out of here.
I'll say he is. I wouldn't be surprised if he does.
He's hit a few of them out here, too. Last season, I believe he had 14 home runs in this stadium alone.
And for a catcher with an average of 318 for the Beagles, that's damn good.
I'll say.
Gary Pecorino, number 37. Next pitch.
Ooh. Oh, hit deep to left field.
Way, way out in the stands.
Over the stands.
Into the parking lot.
That was a long ball.
Oh, if he had just been a little bit, he had just been a little bit too, more to the right, that would have definitely been a home run for Gary Pecorino.
He is looking to hit it out of here. No question about it.
No question about it. I think they all are tonight, Les. Okay, the pitch. Oh!
That was in the field.
A little bit too low that time round.
Lou Stevens seems to be getting a little bit frustrated out there with all those long balls and base hits and errors.
One ball, two strikes.
Wind up.
The pitch. Ooh! That curveball just curved a little bit too much.
Even count, 2-2.
2-2.
We're all tied up here at 1. Gary Pecorino up.
Bill Lazaroff on first base.
Two men out.
And the pitch.
Deep!
Oh, that's out of here. Bullpen. All right.
That's out of here. Gary Pecorino.
Pushing in Bill Lazaroff.
Rounding the bases. A two-run homer from Gary Pecorino. And that puts the Beagles up on top by a score of 3-1.
And Buddy Angiolillo coming up to bat now. The windup. The pitch.
Whoa! flies out to Karen John.
Oh, man, the side is retired. At this point, it's the Eagles 3, the Dachshunds 1.
Learning to do something you've never done before. Finally reaching an impossible goal. Does this sound beyond your reach? Not if you don't want it to. Everyone can accomplish something. Remember how you felt when you learned how to read, or ride your bike, or use the swings by yourself? That sense of achievement can still happen when you develop a new skill, solve a difficult problem, or even establish a new habit pattern. The rewards are worth the effort. Self-esteem, maturity, self-respect. The need to accomplish, I believe, is something God puts in each of us, which is why I've shared this message with you on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Back again for the third inning between the Dachshunds and the Beagles. Dachshunds are up at bat in this inning. And it will be Todd Hauslinger.
Last time around, he had a single.
He's 1-for-1. He's facing Buddy Angiulo. Here's the windup by Buddy. And the pitch, a swing and a miss. And the count is 0-1 on Todd Hauslinger.
0-1. I could almost feel the breeze. And
he's swung hard on that one. He wants to hit it. Here's Buddy with the windup and the pitch. And that's low. So the count is evened up at 1-1.
Buddy has a tendency to throw a little low.
Actually, Buddy has a tendency to throw just about everywhere on occasion.
But nobody argues with Buddy.
Here's the windup. And the pitch. And it's low again.
Another ball.
Almost the same spot.
And another ball.
And the count is now 2-1.
Hauslinger, number 98.5, plays right field. Last year had an average of 94. Not too good.
Well, his season seems to be a little bit better this year. And Mr. Hewan Lowe is calling time in center field. See what this is about.
There's all that smoke hanging out there.
I think that's why he's calling time. He's clearing away some of that smog or whatever has developed around
him. Looks like some kind of a haze or a fog out there.
Wiping that away with his fingers. All right, things seem to have cleared up now, and we're back in the progress. Wind up by Buddy Angiulo, and the pitch. And Todd Hauslinger took that one.
Great pitch, though.
2-2 is now the count. Pecorino throws the ball back to Buddy. And Buddy's ready right away, and here is the pitch. Swung on, foul ball, way up into the stands. Holy cow, look at that go. And here it comes again, coming down. Oh, everyone's missing it. Right over the upper deck, down into the mezzanine. Down again into the field seats. Unbelievable.
Simply unbelievable. Hauslinger has a bit of power behind him as well.
Unfortunately, though, it goes up instead of away. That ball must have gone a couple hundred feet up into the air. Angiulo now with the windup. And the throw. Swing and a miss. Todd Hauslinger throws down swinging.
Who says will be up?
But he seems very happy about that. Another strikeout for him.
He's patting himself on his back. He threw his glove down. Now he's holding himself. He's embracing himself, and the crowd is going wild over these antics.
What a sense of humor that guy has. The fans love him.
Still half a walk in the first inning.
Facing Buddy Angelello again.
Who batted 197 last year. And it feels like she's ready to do some justice to this ball. Here's the pitch. Low, ball one. But it was just a trifle bit upset. He walks back to the mound. Says something to the second baseman.
Bob Duffy.
And turns around again. Here's the windup. And the pitch right down the middle, and Sid didn't even see that one.
That's that really fast fastball of Buddy Angelello.
He does not lose that throughout the course of the game. He always see that at least once in the inning. And Sue, well, she didn't see it. Problem is, though, Brian, when you hit that kind of a ball, it goes very far.
It does, Les.
The thing is, though, it's very, very hard to hit a ball like that.
That's what Buddy hopes for, at least.
And the windup. And the pitch. Swung on. Popped up.
Straight up.
Gary Pecorino's underneath it. Throws down the mask. And he got it. Steve Fletcher is out. Two away.
He did. Barry Reagan.
Barry was ready for that one. Barry Reagan's up again. He was 0 for 1.
Barry Reagan, number 1.
But he steps off the mound for a second.
Looks like he's adjusting his socks there.
Seems satisfied, he's stepping back. Now he gives a warning look at first base, even though nobody's out on there. That's Buddy for you. He still looks over his shoulder. That's amazing.
Give it to him.
It's good practice, I guess,
from the day go.
Here's the pitch to Reagan. And that's a foul ball right into the field seats. It grazed a few heads, I think. Reagan takes a couple of practice swings.
Looks like he's calling for another bat. Yes, he's switching bats. Looks like he's getting one of those heavier ones with the hollow tip.
Well, it's a 209 average. Reagan should be hitting the ball better than he has been doing this season. However, he seems to have fallen upon hard times. We'll see what happens. Here's the pitch. And that's a way off. Almost got away from Pecorino there.
It was pretty high.
So the count is evened up at 1-1.
Nobody has the ball again.
Wind up. And the pitch low and away. Ball two.
Two balls, one strike.
He's getting ready now. He looks very, very mean. If I was behind that plate, I'd be kind of frightened right now. Here's the pitch. Right down the middle. There's another one of those. Unbelievable. Sue Pfeiffer got one, and now Barry Reagan got another one.
It's that really fast fastball of Buddy Angelello we've been telling you all about.
The count is evened up at 2-2.
What's this Reagan's doing with his pants? Oh, that's what, he's adjusting his belt.
Here's the pitch from Buddy Angelello. A swung on, hit deep to center field, and Lister can't get it.
Lister
runs after it. He's got it, he's throwing it into Bill McKenzie.
But Barry made it in second. He's safe.
Too late. Reagan slides into second base. He's safe.
Bob definitely had a chance with the ball.
And I think if Lister had thrown that to Bob Duffy instead of to Bill McKenzie, he would have had a good shot at it. Unfortunately, though, he made the wrong decision. It's not, I would say, an error, but
It's just a split-second judgment, and unfortunately, he just went the wrong way.
He didn't seem to be able to see that ball there. That haze is still there. By the way, Les, did you know that in the audience tonight, the commissioner of baseball, Norman Preslin, is in the audience?
Is he? Well, that's very heartening to hear that.
Yes, it is.
He's seeing a good contest like this. So, a runner on second base.
Karen Jones up now. She walked her last time up a bit.
There are two men out. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. And Karen really looks like she wants to wail that one out of here.
Remember, all last season, she had 25 home runs.
25 homers. And she wants to get another 25 this year.
That's for sure.
Wind up and the pitch. And that's inside. Oh, almost hit it with that one. 1-1. But you're looking back at second base now. Reagan takes a moderate lead.
It's getting a bit breezy outside, don't you think, Les?
Yes, it is.
Some clouds are rolling in.
A few clouds. But it's not darkening the spirits of the fans or the players.
And no, not since they have these quartz halogen lights out.
Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed again. Karen John has two strikes and a ball. She walked earlier on. I believe that was an intentional walk. Or was that... No, Sue Pfeiffer was the intentional walk in that inning, the first inning. And Karen John was walked after that to load up the bases.
Right.
Created quite a tense situation.
Right.
The pitch from Mangiello. And there's a foul ball into the stands.
Well, Les Huggins, how long have you been announcing baseball?
Well, about 25 years now.
So then you've
I've moved around from all different
You've
all
seen
different
quite
leagues.
A bit.
I have. These two Stony Brook teams, though, are something else. And I think in the coming years, you're going to see some excitement from these guys that you've never seen before.
Especially here at this brand new Soundfront Stadium that the Beagles had built.
And once they get the seats installed, it'll be a tremendous place to take the family to. Here's the pitch. And that's low and inside.
That's ball
ball two.
Two
balls,
two strikes. I recall up in Maine in the Loggers League was announcing a game. And we had similar conditions to this. All of a sudden the clouds just started rolling in.
They do seem to be rolling in kind of fast.
This was way back in 1947. It was just... for some reason I feel exactly as I did back then.
Oh, and it almost got away from Pecorino again, and Buddy does seem to be getting a little bit wild out there.
Three balls and two strikes.
And Bill Sankovich is casting a kind of concerned look at Buddy.
It looks like he's putting Rochelle Goldman up in the bullpen.
He just telephoned over there, I believe, and yes, Rochelle is starting to pitch.
Yes, she took her jacket off. He's playing some catch in the bullpen there.
Buddy doesn't appear to be worried. Here's the pitch, and that's low and outside, ball four. And Karen John is on. So we have a runner on first and a runner on second with two men out.
Well, actually, one man and one woman out.
Yes, if you want to be technical.
Barbara Bloom was up. Last time round, she popped out. Stepping up to the bag now.
Buddy is a bit concerned at this point. He doesn't want that 3-1 lead to be chipped away at by the Dachshunds. And Barbara Bloom is just the person to do it. She popped out earlier, but that's not typical at all.
No, not at all. Had a 2.38 average last year.
Buddy was about to throw the ball, but changed his mind. That was almost a balk, I would think. No one's saying anything.
I'll never tell.
Here's the pitch from Buddy. A swing and a miss. And what power Barbara Bloom had in that swing. I can almost feel the breeze.
What power.
Wind up. And the pitch, that's outside. 1-1. Buddy gets ready. Here it comes. Another swing and a miss.
Two balls.
I'll tell you, Brian.
Two strikes and one ball.
Two strikes and one ball. Brian, she is aiming to hit it out of this planet, I think.
She sure is.
Here's the throw from Buddy. Right down the middle. She had no chance at that one. The side is retired.
So at the end of two and a half. Three and a half. No, two and a half.
Two and a half innings. It's the Beagles 3 and the Dachshunds 1.
Togetherness, experiencing other people on the basis of who they are, not what they have, to enjoy the presence of someone without any reservation. Sounded practical? Then turn the question around. Wouldn't you rather share togetherness with someone who accepts you just as you are, no matter what your income or skill? This kind of sharing provides its own rewards. Acceptance, trust, self-esteem. To enjoy togetherness for its own sake. I believe it's something God puts in us, which is why I've shared this message with you on behalf of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Remember when you were a teeny tiny child and you didn't like to swallow your medicine?
No, I don't wanna.
Well, now you're a grown-up, mature adult, and you still don't like to swallow your medicine.
No, I don't want to.
Maybe it's not the taste you object to. Maybe it's the price, right?
Right.
Want to save money on your next prescription, right?
Right.
Generic drugs are high quality and do the same job as brand-name medicine. But generic drugs can cost a lot less.
All right.
Generic drugs. Get the facts from your pharmacist. A tip from your Federal Trade Commission.
Well, we're back again for the second half of the third inning. The Beagles are up at bat.
Nancy Belushi will be at the plate.
And the pitch. Ball. Off to the side too much.
Stevens steps back. Oh, he almost falls back.
Oh.
Close call there.
He winds up, and the pitch. It's a strike. Whoa, what a whiff Nancy had that time. You know, she's 0 for 1.
Well, see what happens. As Stevens picks the ball up.
Yes.
It's a dropping it.
And the pitch. Another ball. Low.
2-1. Nancy Belushi batting 273. Number 66, third base.
And Lou Stevens getting ready to pitch again. And the pitch. Oh, hit to left center. Barry Reagan, Karen John.
Whoa!
Oh, they slam into one another. What happened to the ball?
The ball's lost. And Nancy pulls into second base.
And, safe.
And has no chance to get her. No chance at all.
Safe at second.
Well, that was certainly bad planning on the part of both Barry Reagan and Karen John.
And they run right into one another.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Well, it looks like a little conference on the mound there. What is it? Erica Goldstein? She says, Doug Edelson. Doug Edelson's coming in for Lou Stevens as pitcher.
So Erica Goldstein has made a change here in the bottom half of the third inning, as Lou Stevens seems to be giving away a little bit too much to the Beagles.
Just a little bit too much.
So Doug Edelson will be pitching.
He's being driven in that little sports car from the bullpen.
It's really racing across there, too. Must be doing about 65 miles an hour.
I guess they're in a hurry. Look at the clouds.
Yeah, I can see why. In fact, there are a couple of raindrops falling down right now, and Bill Sankovich is kind of upset because, as you know, Brian, this is not an official ball game yet, and he is ahead 3-1.
That's absolutely true.
Well, Doug Edelson's doing some warm-ups right now.
He got in there fast, and Lee Stevens is already in the showers.
Doug Edelson, Barbara Gore Suter playing a little game of catch.
I think he's ready already.
He sure looks it.
That has to be the fastest I've ever seen a pitcher warm up.
Steve Blyberg is up.
At the plate.
As you know, he was walked last time up. And one more warm up.
Edelson looks sharp.
He does. And he's winding up the pitch.
Whoa.
Boy, that was a slow ball.
That foul ball almost chopped the head off the third base coach over there.
Now landed up in the stands there.
But right over
just
the roof
about,
of the dugout.
Just about in the stands there.
Bounced over the mezzanine.
One strike. Steve Blyberg. And the windup. The pitch. Oh, and a whiff. Oh. Steve Blyberg gets caught in by a Doug Edelson fastball.
Never had a chance.
Right, no.
Never.
Back to Doug.
Doug looks very strong.
Checking out Barbara Gore Suter for a signal.
He gets one.
And a curveball outside. Two strikes, one ball. The wind's starting to pick up a little bit, isn't it?
Yeah, and those clouds don't look too good coming in from the west.
No, they don't.
The crowd seems to sense that.
Doug Edelson winding up the pitch.
Oh,
right between first
base
and second
hit.
Base. Oh, a single for Steve Blyberg.
And Nancy Belushi goes to third base on the play.
Nancy's talking with third base coach Priscilla Hurant.
She takes a big lead off third, and Doug Edelson does not like that at all.
Mark Stern's up next. And you know Mark Stern's batting lefty tonight.
Oh, is he?
Yes, he is. That's why he's on the other side of the base.
I see.
And the windup, the pitch. Straight to Sue Pfeffer. Oh, what a great catch. Steve
she was
Blyberg.
Right there. She was ready for that.
Steve Blyberg still on first. Nancy Bellucci on third.
One out now.
Lister's up. What are they going to do with Lister? You know, he had a base hit last time. He's a powerful hitter.
He certainly is. It's kind of hard to see the strike zone, though, whenever he's up.
Signals.
Smog seemed to follow him.
Look at that pitch. Whoa, outside. Looks like they're going to walk Lister.
I think they're going to put him on. They don't want to see a repeat.
That one hit the ground. Yes, they're definitely walking Lister.
Edelson's throwing some crazy pitches there for intentional walks. He just might throw a wild one.
Ball three.
His ball four just rolled it down like a bowling ball.
Oh, now look who's up now. Bill Lazaroff.
Bill Lazaroff.
Change in the order here. When he was up first time, he was one for one. He batted in Lister.
Okay, let's see what he does this time.
The pitch. Oh, single.
Base hit.
All right.
And Lazaroff is on.
Nancy Belushi comes home.
Score is now 4-1 Beagles, and things are starting to look very good for the Beagles. And that brings up Gary Pecorino.
Gary had a home run last time, last inning, whatever. And Doug Edelson's looking a bit concerned. The pitch.
Oh,
foul ball. Bounces just the other side over the third baseline. Can't get to it in time.
That almost hit the ball goal that time.
Sure did. And the pitch. Swing and a miss. Oh, beautiful pitch, too. What happened there?
I don't know. Gary should have hit that ball.
He sure should have. And the crowd is getting restless here. It's starting to rain a little bit.
It is starting to rain. And the umbrellas are going up.
Wind up the pitch. Oh, low and outside.
boy. And the crowd's starting to run for cover, and members of the Dachshunds are sort of pointing up to the sky and gesturing to the umpires.
Oh, and Bill Sienkiewicz.
Bill Sienkiewicz is standing on the dugout with his hands on his hips, and he looks like he's ready to kill somebody if they suggest calling this game.
The umpires are getting together. Alan the Shellman, Bunky and Spunky, Ray Ferrugio, the whole umpire crew.
Remember, this is not an official ball game yet.
They're canceling the game.
They decided to call it. Oh, and Bill Sienkiewicz is furious. He's running out there.
Down.
He just splashed water on Alan the Shellman. Oh, it's quite a scene out there. Some of the fans are jumping onto the field now. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, there's mud all over the place.
And a fight has broken out in the center field between, it looks like, members of the same team. I don't understand what's happening here. It looks like a riot is about to break out.
Oh.
We're on the air again. Oh, thank God.
What happened?
Well, the strike did go through for about an hour and 20 minutes or so.
Yes.
For the last hour and 20 minutes, we have been off the air. Radio Free Weekend is now back. Radio Free Long Island is back on the air. Mike, we've been sitting around twiddling our thumbs waiting for the word. The technicians shut us down.
You just went down the hall and with negotiations, right?
Well, I went down to sort of say hurry up, but by the time I got down there, they had already made the agreement.
I see.
So it's all over now. The strike has ended.
Right.
Now, while we were sitting around, we were getting calls about all sorts of crazy things that people were receiving instead of us.
What were they receiving?
I don't. They were kind of hysterical when they were calling up, so I couldn't really figure it out. If anyone has heard anything strange going over the air, please let us know, because we know nothing about it right now.
2467901 is the number. The strike is settled. We're going to have a look at the news within 5 minutes, and even within 5 minutes, the tripods.
Yeah, we have a lot to catch up on.
We sure do.
The tripods have been sitting here. We were afraid that the tripods would not go on the air this week, but they will.
Of course.
Oh, I'm so happy. So the tripods will be along, and then after that, the news and all sorts of other things. Oh, Mike, it's going to be so good to have a show.
We're going to have an album side, the other side of the news?
Yes, yes, we will. The other side of the news is the album side.
Great.
Very clever.
The other side is the album side.
Very good.
Let's get into some music, and right after this, the tripods.
Thank you. coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents the exciting adventures of the Tripod family. The story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. We left our friends last time. Charlie Pop, Uncle Jonathan, and Kathy were discussing the hospital that Howard is now in. And as we joined in...
Charlie, did you say you sued the hospital that Howard's in now for malpractice?
That's what I said, Kathy.
I thought that's what he said.
What did he say?
Oh, come on, Uncle Jonathan. I think you heard what Charlie just said. Thanks to your skullduggery, Howard's trapped in this amalgamated hospital place in Huntington. Anything could happen to him.
I still didn't hear what he said.
Well, I bet they're just thinking of giving Howard a dichotomy, you know, like in that film.
Oh, you mean like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest,
yeah, that film? Yeah, that's it, with Jack Klugman.
Yeah.
Oh, he was marvelous.
Wasn't he? Especially in that scene where they all go, hey, wait a minute. I don't think that was Jack Klugman. Wasn't he in something else?
Well, I don't know. I thought he was in that.
The Yacht Couple, that was it. Yeah, don't you remember, Kathy? He starred with Tony Randall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My, what a change he went through between those two roles. But I suppose a good actor...
No, Kathy. Jack Klugman was never in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
No?
No, that was another actor. The only thing he ever did was The Odd Couple.
Wait a minute. Now, don't forget that detective show he was in, too. It was called Clancy or something like that.
Oh, yes, that's right, Mr. Tripod. Wait a minute. I think you mean Quincy, don't you?
Well, I thought it was Clancy, but if you say it was Quincy...
What did you just said? I didn't hear you.
I mean, who am I to argue with you, Charlie? I'm just an old man from Big Bear City.
Hold on a minute, Mr. Tripod. I wasn't arguing. I just happened to remember the title of the program. I mean, that's all.
You two really seem to be getting on each other's nerves lately. But I suppose it's mostly my fault for suggesting the Pop move next door with you, Charlie, while Howard and I were away.
Well, I thought there must be something wrong with my ears. I can't hear what any of you are saying.
And speaking of Howard, that reminds me.
Oh, now I know. It was Nicholson. That was it.
What in blazes are you talking about, Charlie?
The actor that Kathy was trying to remember before. It was Jack Nicholson. He played the lead in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That was it.
Oh, that's right. It was Jack Nicholson. I don't know what made me think that was Jack Klugman.
You folks aren't just moving your mouths and not making any noise to play a trick on me, are you?
Doesn't he have a little sister or a daughter or a cousin or a niece or somebody who's in show business, too?
Jack Nicholson? I don't think so, but then again, I don't read all those magazines.
Sure he does. I remember now. Her name's Christy. Christy Nicholson. That was it.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. She's a big teenage idol, isn't she? Yeah, that's funny. You know, I never realized she was related to Jack Nicholson. It's a small world, I guess.
Yeah, she was in that, that film, Little Darlings.
I didn't hear that.
With that other girl. Now, what was her name,
Brigitte LaRue?
Oh, Charlie, how could you say that name after all we've been through because of her?
Well, I was only kidding, Kathy.
That was in very poor taste, Charlie.
Now, wait a minute, Mr. Tripod. Look who's talking about taste.
All I know is that name has caused me as much trouble in my family as Uncle Jonathan has.
What was that, Kathy?
And I don't want to hear it mentioned ever again.
Well, that sounds reasonable.
Now, there was something on my mind, but I forget what it was.
Was something important, Kathy?
Well, it seemed important.
What?
I guess maybe it wasn't, if I can't remember it.
I know what you mean, Kathy. That happens to me sometimes, too.
Well, I guess it happens to everybody.
What?
But it seems to be happening to me more often.
I wouldn't worry about it. Now, I'll bet even Mr. Tripod over here forgets things now and then.
What the devil is that supposed to mean, Charlie?
Why is it you always think I'm trying to start an argument, Mr. Tripod?
Well, you're not trying to start an argument, Charlie.
What?
You're trying to imply that I'm senile. I never forget things. Howard's the one who has amnesia.
Well, I wasn't saying...
I remember what I was trying to remember now.
What's that?
Howard. Don't you remember? He's locked up in that amalgamated hospital. He has amnesia, remember?
What did you say?
Oh, I remember all right.
Yeah. So do I, in fact. Yeah, Howard's in the hospital now.
Well, what are we going to do about it, Charlie?
Well, what makes you think I have all the answers?
And so Kathy, Pop, Uncle Jonathan, and Charlie talk about Howard, who is in the hospital. But they really don't get anywhere. Be sure to tune in next week when we'll hear Uncle Jonathan say...
Well, I can't even hear what I'm saying.
That's next week on The Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
besides Eric Corley coughing.
Excuse me.
We're hearing...
That was a good episode of the Tripods, you know?
I really enjoyed it.
I did, too. I hope they find Howard
someday. It was really good. It was very enjoyable.
But we'll wait with the news because of this strike and everything.
We have to explain what we're listening to.
We're pressed for time.
From Camel. It's from the new album, Nude.
Camel. Oh, well, it ends kind of... begins again. False ending. Are you sure it's not a dromedary?
A dromedary?
Yeah, the ones with...
Oh, dromedary.
That's... some people say dromedary.
Dromedary.
They're the ones with two humps, right? And camels have one.
No, I think it's the other way around, no?
Well, then my education has been inferior because I was taught in, I believe, second grade that dromedaries have two humps and camels have one.
And they don't even have a picture of them.
A band named Camel doesn't even have a picture of a... Whether they have a picture of a volcano?
No, they have a picture of the inside of a man.
And a volcano in the background.
Well,
see?
No, that's not a volcano. Volcanoes have molten lava instead of snow on their peaks.
Not if they haven't erupted. So there.
You can't call it a volcano if it's not erupting.
Sure you can. You can call it a... what do you call it? An inactive volcano. Don't tell me about volcanoes.
Yes, I'm going to tell you about volcanoes.
We have to read the news.
Mr. St. Helens. Oh, you are tuned to WUSB.
Stony Brook, and we should have been finished by now, but we're not. Because of the bloody technicians and engineers and things like that. It went on strike. But
more questions are surfacing about CIA Chief William Casey's past business dealings. Mm-hmm. The New York Times reports Saturday that in a financial statement to the Senate, Casey didn't reveal that he had been given a $10,000 interest in a computer company as a part of a business venture. Casey said he hadn't received any gift bigger than $500. But a former business associate told the Times he gave the CIA chief the stock in 1976. The Times quoted Casey as saying he'd paid some nominal consideration for the stock, so I considered it to be a purchase and not a gift. Several prominent Senate Republicans have called on Casey to resign because of criticism about his past business practices and his management of the CIA. Members of the House Select Committee on Intelligence are reportedly against a CIA plan to set up a covert operation in Africa. The Washington Post says the congressman told President Reagan in a letter that they didn't feel the CIA proposal had been given enough thought. The nature of that operation hasn't yet been disclosed. President Reagan has proposed some changes in his 3-year 25% tax cut proposal, including provisions that would provide more tax breaks to oil producers. He's also supporting a plan to automatically lower taxes to help Americans beat back inflation. But Ways and Means Committee Chairman Dan Rostenkowski says Reagan's tax cut plan is still unacceptable because it doesn't offer more relief to people making less than $50,000 a year.
Thank you for reading the news like that, Mike. It's that really made it interesting.
I thought so.
Good. Oil and gas drilling on the George Bank off the New England coast began Friday after years of court battles postponed the exploration. Environmentalists fear that oil spills could destroy the region's billion-dollar-a-year fishing trade. Former Agriculture Secretary Earl Butz is out of prison. Butz was released Friday from a federal prison in Chicago after serving 25 days for understating a federal income tax return. He had been scheduled to remain in jail another 5 days, but officials say he was released 5 days early for good behavior. There's word that a military appeals court in Washington will consider a request from Christopher Cook that the charges against him be dismissed. Cook is the Air Force missile officer accused of releasing defense information and making unauthorized contact with the Soviets. According to Cook's mother, the court has agreed to hear the officer's petition for dismissal of these charges. Cook has been held at McConnell Air Force Base in Kansas since his arrest last month. And Israel says it didn't fire back when Palestinian guerrillas blasted rockets at northern Israel Friday. The assault came just 5 hours after a U.S.-mediated truce had been announced. 3 civilians were reported injured. Supporters of Irish nationalist hunger strikers at the Mays prison near Belfast plan to hold a rally Saturday in Dublin. Thousands of people geared up for the event by marching through the Irish capital on Friday. They're hoping to pressure the British government into negotiating with the prisoners.
The New York group opposed to an anti-cult bill passed by the state legislature have applauded Governor Hugh Carey for vetoing the bill. Speaking at a rally yesterday organized by Ad Hoc Committee to Safeguard the Constitution, Roy Innes of the Congress on Racial Equality praised Kerry for reaffirming America's spiritual values by his veto of the bill.
and has said the bill would have subjected religion to the control of the courts. The bill, which Kerry rejected earlier this week, would allow parents to obtain a court order to take their children away from communal religious groups, even if they were beyond the age of consent, for a 45-day period of deprogramming. If a judge found the son or daughter had been brainwashed, he could appoint a legal guardian, presumably a parent. The Unification Church, as well as some Roman Catholic groups, had opposed the bill on the grounds that it is vague, overbroad, and legalized kidnapping.
The Board of Trustees of the Performing Arts Foundation of Long Island has announced that its Playhouse and Arts and Education Center in Huntington Station is being renamed the Chapin Theater Center. This is in honor of the singer Harry Chapin, who was a resident of Huntington Bay and who died in a traffic accident on the Long Island Expressway a week ago Thursday. Chapin had assumed chairmanship of the Performing Arts Foundation Board in 1975, and he was instrumental in leading the Long Island-based theater company to national recognition.
And folk singer Arlo Guthrie has what's been diagnosed as inflammation of the pancreas. That's the word from Vancouver, British Columbia. And he's resting comfortably in a hospital after having to interrupt a concert tour. And a quick look at the USB Long Island weather. Partly cloudy tonight, low around 18 to 19. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and warm, high around 27, 28, inland to around 22 at coastal beaches. Fair tomorrow night, low in the upper, around 21. Sunday, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a chance of an afternoon or evening shower or thunderstorm. Highs around 27 through 30. And the winds, which I'm giving to you in miles per hour, mostly southeast, 5 tonight and 10 to 15 tomorrow. Right now there are no warnings or advisories in effect for Long Island, and the temperature here in Stony Brook is 21. That's 69 degrees Fahrenheit.
A bit nippy outside, if you ask me. In fact, these last few days I've been walking around and feeling chilly. At night, actually. And
yes.
It's a wonderful feeling.
And yes, me too.
Get into it again.
I've been wearing bare feet for quite a while. And what's the sense of wearing shoes when I can wear bare feet?
And step on glass and all sorts of things like that.
That reminds me, before we get into our classic album side for tonight.
Okay.
I'd just like to mention that a few weeks ago, they repaved a portion of the walkway between the Union Building and the Union parking lot.
A portion of the roadway that had been used for years and years and years, and they finally decided to pave it.
A portion, it wasn't really used, it had been grass originally, and people had just cut across walking.
And then it was mud.
And well, what they did was they paved it a couple of weeks ago. And then I was walking on it, and half of it was missing again.
Again? I know half of it was missing a couple of weeks ago because they hadn't finished it.
They didn't finish the ends. Uh-huh. But they did do what they did, and then they took half of it away.
They took half of it away?
They did, but it's good to know right
only
now.
Only in Stony Brook, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's good to know right now that it's all there.
Yeah, that's for sure. Then they repainted the lines in front of the Student Union Building again, underneath the bridge.
Oh.
Yeah, they were yellow lines, now they're white lines.
Is that
they put up stop signs, now they took the stop signs down. They had a traffic light. Well, they were going to have a traffic light, but they took that down, too.
Ooh.
Things are very strange here, and who knows what it's going to be like in the fall when all the students come back.
Who knows?
But enough of that. We're going to get to our classic record sign, or our meaningful record sign, actually. And the reason I picked this album, this week it was my choice, which is Bruce Cockburn's Humans, is because it came out about a little more than a year ago. And it was the weather, actually, that did it. When it came out, it was nice and breezy and cool and made you feel good and made you, really feel glad to be alive. This album has that same effect, no matter when you play it. Of course, the songs here don't really sound that optimistic. The first song is called Grim Travelers.
We're going to hear Face 2, by the way.
Oh, we're hearing Face 2?
Yeah. No, we're not either. Face 1.
Face 1, yes.
Face 1,
side 1, in some people's lingo. Yeah, so we'll hear Grim Travelers. Rumors of Glory, More, Not More, You Get Bigger As You Go, and What About the Bond? And I'd like people, if they're not too busy, to sit down and not do anything else. Listen to the lyrics, because they are very, very good.
Bruce Cockburn is I'm going to have to say, without a doubt, my favorite, absolute favorite male vocalist.
And that's quite a statement. I don't know if I could say that, but he is one of my favorites, I know that much.
And used to be Van Morrison, but I put Van Morrison behind Bruce Coburn now.
Mm-hmm.
For some strange reason. I really liked a lot of his earlier stuff from around 76, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or from his In the Falling Dark album, which we don't have here at the station.
But all of these, well, he's Canadian, of course, and all of these songs are written in various parts of Canada. Ottawa, what's this one? Burritt's Rapids, you know, Toronto, a couple more in Ottawa. And it's interesting, he... what label was he on before Millennium?
He was on Island.
Island Records. He wasn't getting what he wanted on that label, and then he jumped over to Millennium, and supposedly they pushed him more there, and he became known in America.
Yeah.
So now his records are starting to make a dent over here. People have heard about him. So let's let the people hear him. Bruce Coburn.
And this is our classic album side for tonight. If... you know, this is a listener kind of radio station, and we're definitely taking listener suggestions for your classic album sides. You have to have a reason.
A good reason.
And
well, you know, a reason.
Yeah. A reasonable reason.
Yeah.
Unless it's a seasonable reason. Or a reasonable season.
You can call us up while the album side is playing, although I would appreciate it if you sit down and listen to it.
So call us up after the album side is playing.
The number is 246-7901, or our address
is WUSB at the State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
Do it now.
Ministers meet, work on the movement of goods. Also work on the movement of capital. Also work on the movement of human beings. As if we were so many cattle. Grim travelers in dawn skies. See the beauty, makes you cry. You don't know why. Grim travelers in dawn skies. 12 mercenaries got weapons primed. Gonna take that African nation in record time. You wonder why they bother, why not leave it alone, they say. Every man wants to retire to a place he can call his own. Those grim travelers in dawn skies, they see the beauty, makes them cry inside. It makes them angry, and they don't. Richer than a rose, blooms against the backdrop of somebody's white clothes. Bitter little girls and boys from the Red Army underground. They blow away Karl Marx if he had the nerve to come around. They're just grim travelers in dawn skies. See the beauty, makes them cry inside. It makes them angry, and they don't know why. They are grim travelers in dark skies.
smoke stacks. Trucks butt each other to establish dominance. The newspaper next to me leans over and says matter-of-factly, Sacred Mountain towers above meadows, and above us grim travelers in dawn skies. I see the beauty that makes me cry inside. It makes me angry, and I don't know why. We are grim travelers in dawn skies.
cling to you, my friend. It's just I hate the day to have to end. Never enough time to spend. I haven't done enough just to be the end. There must be more.
Conclusion.
get bigger as you go. No one told me, I just know. Bales of memory like boats in tow. You get bigger as you go. Redneck children laugh out loud. I've been tired of living long.
Feeling the loving. find our own solution. Confusion. Pressure from all sides. Got to head right down the center. In the love that will abide. What about the bond?
What about the bond? What about the mystical unity?
Beautiful album.
Oh, yes. Bruce Coburn. One of my favorites.
Humans.
90.1. Ooh, 90.1.
What about the bond in USB FM? And of course, Bruce Coburn has a new... well, actually, it's not a new double album, is it? It's a compilation.
It's a single album.
I thought it was a double album.
No, only because it opens up.
It's a single album that opens up. That's confusing. And there are double albums that don't open up.
That's true. And triple albums, like Sandinista.
That's true. They don't open up either. They save money that way. So, okay, there's a single album by Bruce Coburn that's out now that's actually a compilation of older stuff.
No, not exactly.
Uh-oh.
Because there's one new, brand new song that's released. Yeah.
What's the name of that song?
The song is The Coldest Night of the Year.
I see. How about that? Well, you learn something new every day.
Are you trying to make me...
Well, it's just funny watching somebody hiccup, especially on the radio.
Yes.
Well, it's 2:33.
Maestro, if we can have some music...
Tune to Radio Free Weekend. I'm Mike. No, I really said that. I don't believe it. I'm Eric Corley, and you're Mike Dubas.
Yes, hiccup stricken.
I'm the pizza man.
This is the show where anything can happen. Anything does happen. And
I hear you bought yourself a new book.
Well, no, actually, I didn't buy myself a new book. I found this book in my house. I was going through some boxes and stuff, and I found this one. It's a good book. It was from way back, it was 59 cents. It's called Keep Your Eyes Open.
Oh, it's an easy reader.
Yes, it is. It's about these kids who go for a ride in their car. It's written by Michael Folsom.
And by the way, if you tuned in for continuous record skipping, you're going to end up with continuous hiccups.
I know what you mean.
Pictures in this book, even though you can't see them, are by Elizabeth Dauber. as we open up the first
page, what a nice picture.
We see a picture of a sort of a circular street with trucks. Everybody's smiling, for one thing, in these pictures.
Yes.
A car going by with two people smiling in it. An old-looking car with a person smiling. A truck with other cars on top of the truck. It's one of those things, you know,
yeah.
Cars.
a picture?
You know, I thought one day I was driving along and I saw one of these trucks with, you know, the trailers carry the cars.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't have the trailer, but it had a car on the roof of the truck part. It was really wild.
But it's posted.
Yeah, but all it did was had, it had a car on the roof of the truck and it had no trailer.
Oh, how did they do that?
Well, I think they must have drove it up the trailer and took the trailer off.
But it was hanging on the actual roof?
It was sitting on the roof of the truck.
But what was keeping it there?
It was on one of those little, like, little tracks.
What tracks? There aren't tracks on the roof.
Like on the trailer there, you know?
But you said it didn't have the trailer.
But it didn't have the trailer, but it had that same kind of apparatus on the roof.
Oh, it had the apparatus. All right, you didn't say that. Okay, that's
important. It was on the roof of the truck part.
Okay, now there's a stop sign over there. There's a 4 and a 28. I don't know what they mean.
I don't know either.
It's kind of confusing, actually. It's a water tower, a radio tower, a building, a train.
Oh, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Yeah, now, why this is an easy reading, we're going to just explain this a little bit before we start. Now, this story has been carefully written to keep the young reader's interest high.
It is told in a simple, open style with a strong rhythm that adds enjoyment to both reading aloud and silent reading.
Something which we're not going to get into tonight. There's a very high percentage of words repeated. Repeated. It is this skillful repetition which helps the child to read independently. Seeing words again and again and again and again, he practices the vocabulary he knows and learns with ease the words that are new.
In fact, only 119 different words have been used, with plurals and root words counted once. Now, one half of the words in the story have been used at least 3 times. Almost a third of the words in the story have been used at least 6 times. And some words have been used 10, 12, and even 20 times.
Wow. Those probably words like ah and that thing. This book is an eye-opener, a stimulus to keener observation of the child's everyday environment. Using the familiar experience of a ride in the car, it shows and explains how much there is to see if you do keep your eyes open. It can motivate similar observation games on real car rides or in the classroom. And you know this is an old book because it gives the address of the book company. It says New York 10, New York. Oh, that used to be a system once instead of zip codes.
Yeah, that was the zone. And do you know what zip stands for?
Oh, stands for something?
Yeah, zip. Zip stands for the Zone Improvement Plan of 1960.
Is that so?
Yes, it is.
That's very clever. So what's the 9 digit zip code got in?
That's zip plus 4.
That doesn't stand. I mean, that's not clever. That's not as clever as zip.
Yeah.
Does code stand for something?
Must.
We'll investigate that later on.
Communications. On delivery, entertaining.
Right, sure, Mike.
Sisters.
Keep Your Eyes Open is the name of the story.
It's a story by Michael Folsom.
We went through that already, but the editorial consultant was Lillian Moore.
Which we didn't know until now.
No, we found that out on this page over here. We're going to turn the page. Oh, an introduction.
Introduction.
Why don't you start off?
These books are meant to help the young reader discover what a delightful experience reading can be.
Oh, boy, that's delightful. Sorry.
The stories are such fun that they urge the child to try his new reading skills. They're so easy to read that they will encourage and strengthen him as a reader.
The adult will notice that the sentences aren't too long, the words aren't too hard, and the skillful repetition is like a helping hand. Helping hand.
No, it's helping hand.
Helping hand. What the child will feel is, oh, it's a quote. This is a good story, and I can read it myself! Exclamation point.
No,
close quotes.
I can read it myself.
Oh, I can read it myself.
For some children, the best way to meet these stories may be to hear them read aloud at first. Others who are being better prepared to read on their own may be given a little help in the beginning, help that is the best given freely. I'm sorry about this, really. Youngsters have more experience in reading alone, whether in first or second or third grade, will have the immediate joy of reading all by myself.
Don't want to be all by... Okay. These books have been planned?
No, that's with only one end.
Oh, planned to help all young readers grow. in their pleasure in books, and in their power to read them.
That's from Lillian Moore.
Specialist.
She misspelled her name. She only has, well, a total of two L's in her name. There should be L-I-L-L-I-A-N.
I misspelled
right?
Over here, too.
Yeah.
She's a specialist in reading.
Formerly of Division of Instructional Research.
New York City Board of Education. I wonder why they say formerly. She must have gotten fired or something. She had to do this. Well, the story was written in 1965. So.
Oh, that's when it was copyrighted. Now,
oh, well, I guess
there's two parts in here. There's the boy and the girl, right?
Oh, yeah, then it's the mother and the father, but they sort of blend into one. And they're the concepts of the house and the car and the outside environment.
Excuse me. Well, let's read it to our listeners.
Okay, now, on this first part of it, the boy is saying something to the girl, and he says, "Look, we're going for a ride in the car."
"That's no fun,"
says the girl. Now, you see the mother and the father driving out in the car, and the boy trying to convince the girl to go, you know, for a ride in the car. He says,
"Yes, it is fun, and all you have to do is keep your eyes open."
"Look, what's that on the road?" And you see a picture of horses behind coming out of a trailer. I don't jest you. I mean, guys, you can see it for yourself. It's a horse there. Yeah, let's see it. Let me see it. Turn the page.
Now, that car is pulling a trailer. A horse is in the trailer. Animals ride on the road, too.
Like this, it shows a truck with, looks like cows inside it.
And like this, it shows a truck with chickens and roosters in it.
I never saw that. And like this, and this one I couldn't figure out for a while, it's a fire truck. And all these firemen are on it, looking kind of angry, actually. And there's a dog in the front seat. That's what the animal is, a Dalmatian, of course.
"Look, we have to stop here. The road goes up." "That's funny."
And the road goes up 90 degrees all of a sudden, so you can't climb it. Why does the road suddenly go up, Mike?
Let's turn the page and find out. "This is a kind of bridge."
"Oh."
"It goes up so that the tall boats can go by on the river."
"This kind of bridge goes over a big river."
"A suspension bridge."
"Oh,
that doesn't sound good." "And this kind of bridge goes over a little river."
Shows a guy with a rowboat. He's fishing. He's about to throw the thing, and then he has a fish on the other end. Strange. "This is an old, old bridge on an old, old road. It has a roof on it."
Covered bridge, right?
Yeah, it's like a little house you go through.
"There's a river without a bridge. How do we get across?"
Uh-oh. "This is how. On a boat."
"Huh. Look. What's that?"
"It's a tower. Big towers like this carry electricity."
"There's a tower. It's a water tower."
"There is a tower, too. It's a radio tower. And, in fact, there are even callers on this. It says WYCN.
No, it says VYCN.
Well, the W is kind of crossed out.
Oh, it says V.
VYCN. How about that?
"And there is a fire tower." Why are we doing this, Eric? I think this is really stupid.
We're learning so much about the environment.
That's true, but our listeners can't see the pictures with which we're referring.
Sure they can.
Besides, our theme started.
Well, it started 17 minutes early. And I suggest you get back to reading the story.
"And there's the fire tower. The man in the tower keeps his eyes wide open. He looks for fires."
"Grr, what's that?" "It's a big machine. The machine fixes the road."
"The man is fixing the road, too. He has a little machine."
This machine is building a road, and so is this one, a tar paving machine and a thing that digs things up.
"And this one, too."
"Here's a machine that is building a bridge."
"Look, what's that? Where do we go now?"
"Signs that say detour. These men are building a road. We go this way.
And this way.
And this way.
And this way."
"Oh, someday there will be a big road here. Men will come and say, hooray, now the road is open.
It will be like a big party."
Funny, they never did that when they opened roads around here.
"It's dark in here. Very dark.
We are in a tunnel.
There's a tunnel in a big hill.
And here's a tunnel under a deep river.
And here's a funny tunnel in a tree."
"Oh, look. Look. What's that?"
"Why, it's a truck. Trucks like this carry cars. Trucks can carry all kinds of things.
Like gas."
"And boats."
"And machines."
"And ice cream."
"Ice cream?
Ice cream? Stop! The car needs gas."
"And we need ice cream."
"Let's go again."
"Keep your eyes open."
Look at the funny cars. There's an old car.
An old person inside it. There's a big car with a
big
knob
big
in the back and a chauffeur in the front. His mouth is downturned.
Mm-hmm. And there's a very little car.
Yes, you can step on it. What kind of road is this?
It's a railroad.
Oh, a railroad can carry people.
And animals.
And machines.
And cars, too.
Stop! The railroad goes across here.
Stop again. What's that on the road?
It's a house.
Men are moving this house on wheels.
Here is a house on wheels, too. This house is a trailer.
Our house is not on wheels. But where is it?
Not here.
Not here.
Not here.
Ah, here we are. Home again.
That was fun. When can we go for a ride again? Now, if you're interested in some of the other titles that they have on in this series...
Will you come to my party?
Well, that's one of them. Hurry up, Slowpoke.
Mr. Pine's Mixed-Up Signs.
The Adventures of Silly Billy.
The Secret Cat.
Billy Brown Makes Something Grand. And I had that book, too, somewhere. I'll bring it in sometime.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that. Miss Polly's Animal School.
The Duck on the Truck.
A Train for Tommy.
Surprise in the Tree.
The Monkey and the Rocket.
Billy Brown the Babysitter.
Fly Away at the Air Show.
Artie the Smarty.
Or in Boston, they'd say Artie the Smarty. The Surprising Pets of Billy Brown.
Barney Beagle.
I Made a Line.
Laurie and the Yellow Curtains. That sounds like an interesting one.
Dr. Jacob Bernowski and the Ascent of Man.
Come on.
Oh, sorry. Grandpa's Wonderful Glass.
That sounds interesting. Benjamin in the Woods. It's even more interesting.
Barney Beagle Plays Baseball.
The Day Joe Went to the Supermarket.
Question and Answer Book.
Jokes and Middles.
Let Papa Sleep.
The Surprise in the Storybook.
The Big Green Thing.
The Boy Who Fooled... The Boy Who Fooled the Giant.
More Jokes and Riddles.
Too Many Pockets.
The Clumsy Cowboy.
Cat in the Box.
How Animals Get to the Zoo.
The Birthday Party.
Little Gray Mouse in the Train.
Mr. Pine's Purple House.
When I Grow Up.
One Kitty is Not Too Many.
How to Find a Friend.
The Boy, the Cat, and the Magic Fiddle.
Little Gray Mouse Goes Sailing.
Bobby Goes to a Party. And that's it, folks. That's all my books.
59 cents you paid for this, huh?
I'm seeing what you get out of it.
You sure do. It's a whole, 15 minutes of enjoyment.
Yeah. I'd like us to make that a regular part of our show.
Children's book time.
Sure. We'd appreciate it if you give us a call. But kids shouldn't be up this late anyway.
That's true.
So go to
let's
bed.
Just read some pornography.
Let's turn up the music first, and then we'll discuss that with our programming people.
Thank you. something happened to me yesterday. Something I can't speak of right away. Something happened to me. Something also groovy. Something happened to me yesterday. He don't know if it's right or wrong. Maybe he should tell someone. He's not sure just what it was, or if it's against the law. Something.
Forgetting the boys in the band and our producer, Reg Thorpe, would like to say, God bless. So if you're out tonight, don't forget, if you're on your bike, wear white.
Well, thank you very much, Rolling Stones there. Something happened to me yesterday.
And we have something that's going to happen for you tomorrow on Radio Free Weekend.
Hi, I'm Felipito Palacios, and this Saturday on Onda Nueva, my live on-air studio guest will be the son of Latin music, Eddie Palmieri. We'll be speaking about his career and his music, and we'll have an exclusive preview of his new album. Join us this Saturday at 3:30 p.m. on Onda Nueva, part of Radio Free Weekend on Long Island's Salsa Alternative, WUSP, Stony Brook.
She's a singer, musician, actress, poet, dramatist, a Renaissance woman, Abby Lincoln. I'm Billy Taylor, inviting you to join me when Jazz Alive presents vocalist Abby Lincoln with her trio in San Francisco. And we'll go to Chicago to hear the fabulous Woody Shaw Quintet. Plus, pianist Dave Burrell and a solo performance in Washington, D.C. 2 hours of contemporary jazz on our next Jazz Alive from National Public Radio.
Oh, Mike, you want to tell the folks when Jazz Alive can be heard?
Sure, it's comes your way Saturday night, later tonight, 7 p.m. on WUSB.
That's part of Radio Free Weekend. And, Mike, why in the world does it sound like you're on the telephone?
Well, I'm in the hospital right now for hiccups.
Well, that was fast, I must say. Well, things move pretty fast around here sometimes.
I'll tell you something that's moving fast.
What's that?
I'm not allowed to say on the radio.
Oh, that's really...
I wish you wouldn't do that.
Same here.
That goes for all of us, Mike. Well, it's 2:58 right now, and that means we've gone through an entire 3 hours. Of course, we missed, an hour and 20 minutes because of the strike?
Something like that, yeah. Is that our theme on here in the background?
It certainly is.
Uh-huh.
That is.
Hey, you know, hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hello?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, yeah, for some reason I seem to sound a little bit better now.
I guess the phone lines have improved so much.
Something happened, but my hiccups haven't. Say, you know, while we're promoting other people's shows, what's going on there?
Nothing.
I'd just like to promote my program, not this coming Thursday, but next Thursday. I'm going to be featuring live in the studio some members of the band Lochlorien.
Don't want to talk about it.
Well, I do. And they're an east-west fusion band. They play a lot of, basically some, like, Indian stuff. A lot of interesting... A lot of interesting, unique stuff that you won't find anywhere else, for sure. So that'll be next, not this coming Thursday, but the next Thursday thereafter.
Not this Thursday, the one after that.
Yeah, I think it's about the 6th of August, but we'll let you have all the details as they become available.
All right.
I don't want to talk about it!
No, why not?
I don't know. I'm not saying that. I think it's one of the people who... went on strike before.
Oh, yeah?
They're still kind of frustrated.
Oh.
Well, Mike, it's been fun.
Yes, and same here, too, as well.
So much fun, I can hardly express it in words. But it is 3 o'clock now. Rob Zeiser is here, and he's going to be taking you into the morning hours.
What happened to him last week,
all
by the way?
He turned into Buddy Angelo last week.
Yes.
And, he's back to himself now.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Hooray for Rob Zeiser.
Hooray.
Where would we be without him?
Probably doing another 3-hour show, 4-hour show.
Well, Eric, you have a show coming up when?
Next Friday at the same time.
Okay, and I'll be on Thursday night at 9 as well.
Okay, well, we'll see you then.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
And you're tuned to WUSB.
In Stony Brook.
Down
A blind puppet man, a stupid formula.